This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM. KMOX.
Tomorrow, there will be more than 75 breweries from around the country and locally are going to be here for the St. Louis Microfest, which is back for its 28th year. It gets started at 12 o'clock tomorrow for the VIPs, 1 o'clock for general admission. And we are joined now by Joe Miller, who's the executive director of Lifts for Life Gym, which is the gym that benefits from this event. And Joe, it's good to have you in studio. How are you?
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Are you ready?
We are ready. We're ready to host the community for a fantastic fundraiser for a great cause.
And you said you've been doing this now 13 years. This will be the 13th?
That's right. 13 years that I've been involved with this organization. This is a crucial fundraiser for our nonprofit, for our inner city youth. So I encourage everyone to come out and support it. You don't have to buy a ticket. You can come out and stroll the festival grounds and buy some food, listen to some great music. But there's so much going on that I could share with you.
Well, let's start with Lift for Life, because that is what the Microfest is benefiting. And as you mentioned, it's a gym that's been working with St. Louis inner city youth with alternatives, positive alternatives to drug abuse, violence, and gang involvement. And how long has Lift for Life been doing that?
Yeah, Lift for Life gym started in 1988. Mm. And right now we serve over 400 youth members annually, boys and girls, ages 8 to 18. Our center's in North St. Louis, and we provide free transportation, free meal every day at our gym, which is crucial, free fitness and weightlifting instruction, free mentoring, job tours, college tours, senior scholarships. But all the funds need to be raised from the community, you know, to support our inner city youth and programs, to keep it operating daily and be a consistent, you know, force in the lives of our city youth.
So is that awesome. Where most of the funding comes from, just individual donors?
Yes, individual donors, the community are our core special events. We don't receive United Way funding, government funding, so it's crucial that the community rallies around this cause and keeps it going so we can continue to make a positive impact in their life, like you said.
How successful has it been?
Very. I mean, you know, you look at it from two ways. You want a child to grow through your program and develop life skills, character, confidence, communication skills. That happens with the daily engagement. But beyond that, if members are excelling in the weightlifting area and they want to join our competitive powerlifting team or our competitive Olympic weightlifting team, they can do that. We'll raise the funds to send them to local, regional and national competitions, and over 50 kids have become national weightlifting champions through our program.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's such a great program, and obviously people who want to support it can support Lift for Life, and they can also do it with this event, which you said it's the 28th annual St. Louis Microfest. But it's at a new location this year.
Yeah, this is the second year we're down off of Shoto.
Okay.
We're on the Rhone Rum Bar, their festival grounds down there. That's 2107 Shoto. I want to make sure to mention that. And the Hamilton Hospitality Group is hosting this with us this year. They have great facilities. They have a great team there. And there's three different levels of tickets available for participation this year.
What are those three levels?
Yeah, you have the general admission, and that main festival ground with the main stage, you know, have access to over 50 breweries just out in that area alone. But it's not just breweries. We have distilleries. We have, I mean, you can enjoy ciders, seltzers, mm-hmm. meads, canned cocktails. There's so much to enjoy this year. So it's really a craft tasting festival now, not just a craft beer festival. But we're talking brands that are local, regional, and national, and they'll each bring 3 to 4 of their styles with them to sample. So you have so much to offer out there. Then you have the VIP ticket, the VIP experience. Session Taco has partnered with us to provide an unbelievable meal that's paired with rare and specialty beers over in the VIP area. So the general admission ticket's $50, the VIP ticket's $80, and you get that awesome meal with a dessert from Nothing Bundt Cakes, and you get those rare and specialty beers. There's entertainment over there as well. And then new this year is a brunch. We've added brews, brisket, and biscuits. And that is
brisket and biscuits.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
That is a higher price point. That's a 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Inside of Hamilton Steakhouse. So you're seated, you get 4 courses, and it's all paired up with a specialty cocktail, a nice coffee with liqueur option, a Bloody Mary option, all kinds of rare beers that are paired with the food that's in there. Bogart's is behind this one, providing just such a tasty meal there. So that's a new price point, and there's only 60 of those tickets available. I encourage people to consider that if you're looking to treat mom, your wife, grandma, come down for a great time. You don't have to stay for the entire festival. You can just join that brunch. So there's 3 different options there to support the cause.
STLMicroFest.org. That's STLMicroFest.org if you want to get tickets for this again tomorrow. And there's that the newer level you mentioned starts at 10 a.m.
10 a.m.
tomorrow, 10 to noon.
That's right.
Okay, and then from 12 to 4 is the rest of the festival. How has it changed in the 13 years that you've done this?
Yeah, it continues to evolve to just provide more opportunities to sample such great products that many of our local breweries and distilleries provide, but also in the regional and national scale. You know, I think there's a variety of things that are out there to enjoy now that people have never thought of. So come out of your safe zone and try something new. You may be turned on to something you may want to purchase, you know, out here in the market. So I encourage people to really seek out that VIP ticket. So there's some rare and specialty stuff in there that you can't find in this market.
For example, what is something that maybe we are not aware of that we might want to try?
Yeah, the breweries from around the nation that you just can't get here, basically. You know, and those are beers that they specifically chosen to pair with the food in there. And so you would really have to seek these out. So, you know, Craft Republic's a big distributor and a big sponsor of ours. They're bringing a lot of these great brands and products. And for that brunch, Abby, their certified cicerone, she's going to narrate that and walk you through why these are such awesome beverages paired with such awesome food.
And a cicerone is like a sommelier, but for beer,
you got
right?
It. You got
yeah.
It.
I knew somebody that was one of those.
Cicerone. I think I've heard that, but I wouldn't have remembered that that's what it's called. It sounds vaguely familiar, but that's what it is, a cicerone. Have you ever had mead? Like true mead?
Isn't mead warm?
It can be. Warm?
Okay.
What
then
about?
I've had warm mead.
It's thicker than beer, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Makes you feel like a Viking.
That's exactly why I had it. I felt like I was a Viking.
I feel like that would be, the old like Anglo-Saxons drinking mead. Anyway, I've never had mead, but you'll have everything from mead to canned seltzers.
Oh, everything.
Love that.
So many varieties, so many styles, so much to offer, so much to enjoy.
How have you guys done since the weird period that was COVID? Because all these events have to come back, right, and revitalize after COVID. How did you guys survive that?
Yeah, I think the local breweries and distilleries really rallied around our cause to help us get back on our feet and roll out the festival once again.
That's awesome.
I think major events and festivals are struggling right now because social media has made us so much more aware of so many things in our lives that you could take part of or take advantage of. So, you know, you could look at your social and you could see so many events going on this weekend. So you have to pick and choose. Do you want it to be for a great cause like this? Do you want it to be leisurely out in nature? Do you want it to be around the breweries and distilleries? You know, I think it's crucial that community supports community. That's why we can keep this alive, this event. It's not as large of a festival as it once was, but boy, do we have so much to offer still.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you could not have better weather than this weekend.
It's
like sunny degrees, mid-70s. It's perfect for an event like this. It really is picture perfect.
Yeah. And at any time that it's not 90% humidity, it's going to be great. So, yeah, tomorrow is a perfect place for this at the Rhone Festival Grounds, 2107 Shodo Avenue. And to go back to Lift for Life, that gym, in the years that you have been there, obviously things change. What do you think you need most from the community now that maybe you didn't need so much 13 years ago?
I don't think it's that you didn't need so much. I think funding is challenging for all the nonprofits right now. You don't have as much funding. There's worry and concern over state funding, government funding, funding from individuals that may just be holding onto their money with the economy, and they're nervous about giving right now. That's understood, but you seek out programs that you truly believe in and you think are necessary, and keeping kids off the street and safe after school and away from crime, drugs, gangs, and violence is one of the main areas that I believe people should be supporting. It's supporting the youth and giving them a platform for success with this program and others.
Joe, parents or, you know, think this might be good for their kid if they want to get involved with it. Yeah. What's the best way to do that?
Any youth between, you know, second grade and high school can join our program for free. We've never charged a dime for the transportation, for the meals, for the travel and the competitions, and so much more. So you become a member of our gym, just like we would become a member of an exercise, mm-hmm. a fitness facility. You fill out the application, you give us consent to transport your youth member if you rely on that transportation and take part in some of the mentor sessions or the weightlifting if it's for you. But there's no charge, so it's free. If you're in the city limits, we can try to provide that transportation, which is crucial for so many people. If you live in the county, we can't promise that transportation, but you can still be a part of our program.
So it's open to anybody. It's just it's more difficult to get transportation the further out you are.
Out in the county, yeah. Okay. We have 3 vehicles, 3 drivers, and like I said, we're community funded. We need crucial support to operate daily, weekly, monthly, and give that consistency that the kids need, you know, to give them something safe after school.
I know so many people of our listeners have heard of Lift for Life, but I know probably a couple have a question, because I had to think twice and go, wait, Lift for Life Gym, wait, isn't there a Lift for Life Academy? And then all of a sudden I'm like, are they the same thing? What is that relationship and what are the differences?
Yeah, for sure. There always needs to be clarity there. Lift for Life Gym started first, and then 10 years later, Lift for Life Academy started inside of our gym in the location that we're at up on Cass Avenue. And it rapidly grew into the first charter school in the city of St. Louis. It's located down in Soulard, and they serve youth from kindergarten all the way through high school now. We have probably close to 100 kids from that school that are members of our gym. But there are other school partnerships that we have. And like I said, we pick up kids all over the entire city of St. Louis. So no matter where they reside in the city limits, they can become a member of our gym. But we are an after-school training center for inner city youth that operate 2:30 to 6:30 in the crucial hours, you know, when you want to get kids off the street.
And then the MicroFest is funding just the Lift for Life
Correct.
Gym.
Correct. We are separate organizations. We are a 501c3 nonprofit after school training center, and they are a private charter school. Yes.
You can donate directly to Lift for Life. It is liftforlifegym.org if you want to go to the website and do that. But again, tomorrow, might as well enjoy some beverages and some great food by going to the MicroFest. The St. Louis MicroFest happens again at the Rhone Festival Grounds, 2107 Shodo Avenue, and the website for that. You could find it. You can find the event at liftforlife.org. Or go straight to stlmicrofest.org and get tickets for tomorrow. Again, it's going to be a beautiful day. We know there's a lot going on in St. Louis this weekend, but this is one of those that you might want to stop by.
That's
for
right.
sure.
Grab your crew and come on out for a great cause.
Joe Miller, the executive director for Lift for Life. We appreciate you coming in. Thank you so much and good luck tomorrow.
Thank you.
Have fun. It's going to be hectic for you because you're running the damn thing, but it'll be fun.
Appreciate it. Love to have you guys out too. Have a good one.
That's Joe Miller with us. It is the Chris and Amy Show on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Amy Marks, Kors, and Chris Ranji on 104.1 FM KMOX. Text messages, 314-436-7900. This text says, the English Premier League plays two games a week. MLS teams act like that's a lot.
I'm telling you, soccer needs to change a few rules if it really wants to catch on. Can you imagine if Major League Baseball, if the St. Louis Cardinals played multiple other random games in the middle of the season? That'd be confusing.
Well, hockey kind of does it now with that Nations.
No, that was instead of the All-Star game. It was a break.
Well, they're still doing it every year, right?
Oh, no, they said that might have been a one-off.
Oh, well,
they said
dumb.
Even with the success, it might have been a one-off. They're going back to an All-Star game.
Well, that's what's the
hey,
point?
Hey, you've heard of Mr. Beast, and I guess his new show, he's like recruiting people to see if 100 men can fight a gorilla. Wait, is that it? All of a sudden, I lost my mind.
A gorilla,
yes.
Yeah.
So literally, 100 men can fight a gorilla. Well, John Mulaney has his own little live show, which is actually pretty funny. And John Mulaney is one of my favorites. And he had his own spin on the challenge of the 100 men fighting a gorilla.
There's currently a lot of online discourse about who would win in a fight between 100 men and a gorilla. This prompted a debate in our writer's room about whether three 14-year-old boys could beat up me, John Mulaney. So on our final episode of the season, May 28th, the theme will be Teen Night. We will be talking about many teen issues. And I, John Mulaney, will square off in a very real fight against three 14-year-old boys. Is this legal? So far, we think so. It's not assault, we know that, and we're vetting every step of it. I've been led to believe that if it's for TV, it's a lawful practice. Now, to be clear, I want to be clear. This isn't going to be like a fun, funny fight. Like, it's going to be me fighting these children and them fighting me as hard as we can. So, if you or anyone you know has access to a 14-year-old boy who is willing to fight me, John Mulaney, and might need to get something out of his system, please have their parent or guardian, not the minor, contact us at the email below. I want to fight John Mulaney at Gmail. Netflix Legal wants me to say U.S. citizens only, but no, I'm opening this up to the entire world.
Okay, is that for real?
I have no idea.
Like it's for real. And, you know, even how he said, is this legal? So far, yes, we know it's not assault.
He's 6 foot tall.
He talks about his effeminate hips. He said he has childbearing hips.
There are 14-year-olds. Some of the dudes are like huge.
Well, that's the thing.
They almost look like grown men.
That's so, the thing. When boys between 12 and 14, some of them have mustaches and some of them look like they're 6.
Right. So it's not going to be the 6-year-old looking ones that are going to try to fight him.
I don't know. Maybe that's what he's hoping for. Maybe he's hoping for a scrawny 14-year-old who still like hasn't hit puberty. I don't know. Like who's just little. Because boys, I feel like girls hit 14 and that's what they look like the rest of their life. The same height, everything. But with boys, not only do they grow at such different time frames, like I said, whether they're 12, 13, 14, but they can also change in college. I feel like boys are still growing and their faces change in college. And what I mean by 14-year-old, like my height, when I was 14, that's all I grew. I was done. Like my height never changed.
And you know, Mulaney seems to have put on a little bit of weight. And I don't think it's in a bad way. I'm just saying.
I think it's since he became sober.
Well.
He's not doing coke. He's not cocaine skinny anymore is how he used to call it.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah.
So since he's bulked up a bit, cultivating mass.
But now I want to follow this because it feels like a horrible idea. Like he can't really hit a child. 14 is a child.
Can a parent consent? I don't think a parent can consent to allow their child to get beat up.
I don't think so either.
I don't think there's any way that's legal.
It can't be legal. It can't be a real fight.
Not for an adult.
Because let me ask you
wasn't
this.
There just this hockey player who was, he was like 20 years old or something and somehow snuck into a 14 or a 15-year-old hockey game
what?
Or something? I just saw this.
I did not.
Yeah, I need to go look it up. But it was that, and he laid some kid out.
Oh, my
And now
gosh.
I think they were pressing charges
against
him.
They should. Hey, what do you think will be a more real fight, like integrity of competition? John Mulaney fighting 14-year-olds or the Jake Paul Mike Tyson fight? I kind of feel like Mulaney and the 14-year-olds might be more real.
I think that's what it is. I think you're right.
I think it's John Mulaney to me is
Here you
so
go.
Funny.
I found it. It was a French guy. This was back in
unbelievable.
Back in December, a French hockey community is reeling today after it came out one of their boys' leagues had been infiltrated by a 28-year-old man.
20
got into a heap, somehow convinced them to allow him into a U16 hockey game and or a hockey team, and he was eligible to play in the league. He appeared in 3 games before one play stood out when he just laid out another player. Like, he hit this guy hard.
So, okay. Did he,
he hit this 15-year-old kid hard?
Did he convince them by saying, I'm actually under 16? Or did he say, I'm not trying to be crude here, but was he like, I identify as a 15-year-old, you have to let me play?
No, I think his face looks kind of young, so I think he just convinced them that he was also young. But he was bigger than everybody else.
That's so, terrible.
Yeah, well, this happened in France.
The French are so weird with age. The French. But yeah, I will say it's very interesting because young boys, they just, my brother played baseball. I think when he was 12, there was a pitcher that I promise had to shave his beard. Because my dad goes, if you look at his driver's license, it'll prove he's only 12.
You remember Danny Almonte? He was old enough to drive, and he got into the Little League World Series somehow. What? This was 15 years ago, probably. Look that kid up, baseball player. And he snuck in. He was at least 16, but I want to say he was closer to 18. And
like
was playing with 12-year-olds.
Self-worth.
I don't know.
Bronge is like...
just ridiculous.
You would do it. You'd go to a basketball tournament like, I'm going to own these kids.
So Dominique Roux, I believe I'm pronouncing it, the Frenchman, charged with fraud, child endangerment, and assault.
Well, those seem fair.
So I can't wait for this because I used to watch Night Court. That was my first favorite sitcom.
Yes.
And a guy who appeared on that show multiple times, a comedian. I know you've heard of him. He's in town performing at the Funny Bone tonight and tomorrow. Yakov Smirnoff is coming up. Yeah. Yakov Smirnoff is coming up next on the Chris and Amy Show, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Only in America would pizza get to your house faster than the ambulance can. Only in America, lemonade is made with artificial flavoring and dish soap made with real lemons. Only in America. Every football game starts with them flipping a quarter. And then for the rest of the game, the whole crowd screams, get the quarter back.
Chris and Amy show on 104.1 FM KMOX. And we are very happy to have with us in studio a comedian. And he's also a, is it Bransonian? What do you say? What do we call people?
I never heard that term.
I don't know. I just made it up.
Yeah. I like it. Bransonian.
Yeah, a Bransonian.
Well, yeah.
Sounds fancy.
Yeah. Yakov Smirnoff is
Bransonian.
With us and lives in Branson, Missouri. You got a theater down there.
Yes,
we were just talking about.
Yes, I do. For the last 32 years, I was doing Vegas and Atlantic City and Reno and Tahoe. And then the Soviet Union collapsed. And David Letterman had a top 10 list of things that will now change. And I made number one on the list. Yakov Smirnoff will be out of work. And I thought it was funny, but it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was six months later, none of my contracts in Vegas, Atlantic City, Reno, Tahoe, none of them were renewed. So I started looking for a place where they did not know that the Soviet Union collapsed.
So they didn't know in Branson?
They still
Do they know now? Yeah.
No. 32 years, and I'm not telling. It worked out.
Huh? All their globes, they're not even
it's
updated.
Still
it just
Soviet
says USSR.
Yeah, yeah. It's still Soviet Union.
Do they have internet down there?
Depends. Yeah, it depends. Yeah, I think they do. Yeah.
That's well, that was so a smart business move on your part.
It was an emergency landing on my part. It was. I believe me, I was kicking and screaming. I'll tell you how I learned about Branson. I didn't know. And I was really in a bad place because I was living in Malibu with between all these big stars and making, and I was paying a lot of money in mortgage for the house, and then no money coming. And so all of a sudden, it was an American dream and turned into a nightmare in over like 6 months period of time.
Wow.
And I was down in my luck. I didn't know what to do. And I got a phone call from Willie Nelson, the Willie Nelson. And he said, I'm putting together an event for people in need. And I said, thank you, Willie.
You thought he meant you?
Well, that's the joke part about it. Yeah.
Come on, Rob.
But anyway, and he was doing a Farm Aid concert, and I went and I did with him, and he's the one who told me, he said, they love you in Branson. You're clean and you're family friendly. They'll love you. And so that's how I learned about Branson. It's a really nice place to go to hide from the Russians that are still looking for me. Yeah.
Well, so when did you decide that you weren't just going to go there, but you were going to stay?
I didn't decide it. I decided it for me in some ways because I thought I'll just be there for a year and then go be back in Vegas and, you know, and that wasn't happening. And then next year, and all of a sudden my crowds are growing, and I would have full house, two shows. I was doing 400 shows a year.
Oh.
Yeah. And money was coming in. All of a sudden I had two small kids at that time, and that was scary. And then all of a sudden here is this Branson that they don't care that the Soviet Union collapsed. They don't care. They just want some clean, good comedy, and that's what I was providing, and that's how I stayed.
It's pretty incredible that politics affected your career
that much. Yeah.
But and that quickly.
It did in a way up. I didn't count that because it did. I was writing jokes for President Reagan, speeches. I was like a supplier of jokes for the White House, you know.
Yeah, you were Ronald Reagan's favorite comedian.
That's how, it helped. It did help the when he was talking to Gorbachev and he was kind of getting the insight from me or some, you know, jokes that might be funny. And so it worked. The Berlin Wall came down, and so did my career.
It's a real catch-22 there.
Yeah.
Great job, President. Mr. President.
Well, I mean, you've done so much because you've done, obviously, your own career, stand-up with the president. You've done television shows. You've done movies. I just think it's so cool that you were on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson because he's such a legend. How was that?
It was amazing. It took me a while to get on because the producer, Jim McCauley, was saying that Johnny is not going to like you. And for 6 years, he was telling me that every year, once a year, I would showcase for him. And he would say, nope, he's not going to like you. And last time I was showcasing for him, he said, let's just cut to the chase. You're going to get on that show when the hell freezes over. And I started watching Weather Channel. Just in case, right? And that wasn't happening. Yeah. So I kind of let it go. And then I made the movie with Robin Williams, Moscow and Hudson. Then I made a movie with Tom Hanks, Money Pit. Then I did a commercial, a Miller Lite commercial. Mm-hmm. And it was, in America, you can always find a party. In Russia, party always finds you, right?
Yes.
And Carson saw it. And that's how, And he said to Macaulay, why don't we have him on? And he said, well, we were about to.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I did my set. Johnny asked me to come sit on the couch with him, which was normally.
That was a big deal.
It's a huge deal, right? And I sat down and I said, you know, Johnny, you in America, you have things we never had in Russia, like policemen have warning shots.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, and he almost fell off the chair. And that was that just took the, you know. And then Macaulay comes over in the break. And he goes, can you do another one of these like a couple of months from now? I said, when the hell freezes over? Is that...
Did you
he
really?
Goes, yeah, he goes, touche.
Did he ever apologize to you for it?
No.
Okay.
No. But I was on the show for 7 times.
Yeah.
And he was doing that. So, that was a good enough apology for me.
You know, I saw you for the first time when you were on Night Court.
Uh-huh.
That was my first favorite sitcom. Loved
Night Court.
Loved Night Court. And you used to be on quite a bit. So
I did 7 of those. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It was a great, great fun show. Loved it. Every year they would bring me back. I wish they would bring me back now. But,
oh, yeah. The new one.
Yeah. But
and no one's ever reached out to you about it?
No, so far no. But I'm in Branson. They don't know where I. It's like a witness protection program. You don't know where you are. It's true.
Well, you have an agent, don't you?
No,
oh.
A KGB agent. But that's not the same.
It's not going to help.
No, it's not going to help.
Just bugging your home.
I got to ask you because we've all seen clips of Ronald Reagan telling jokes. Did you tell him a joke? Or did you give him the joke about buying a car and waiting 10 years?
He told me that. I knew that joke before.
Okay.
But when I saw first time I met him, that was a weird situation. I was performing at the Washington, D.C. There was a comedy cafe. This guy comes over after the show and he says, I'm going to have President Reagan and Nancy Reagan guests at my house for dinner, like 2 weeks from now. He said, would you like to join us? And I thought the guy was off the rocker. I'm going, oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. And then I realized he was like chief editor of Washington Times newspaper, so it was a legit thing. And he sent me tickets to go there, and I went. And I'm nervous. I'm like, this is really fairly early in my life, in my career there. And so I go there and they introduce me to the president. There's only like 18 people. The whole thing is just 18 people. And they said, Mr. President, this is Yakov Smirnov. He's a Russian comedian. And he and President Reagan immediately said, oh, have you heard this joke? And he tells me the joke about the Russian guy who wants to buy a car. It took forever in those days to buy a car. And he goes to a dealership and the manager said, put your name on the list, come back in 20 years, pick up the car. The guy said, do I come back in the morning or in the afternoon? The manager said, what's the difference 20 years from now? The guy said, the plumber is scheduled to come that morning, right? I cracked up. I didn't expect the president of the United States telling me a Russian joke. And it's so funny. His timing was great. So now all these 17 people look at me. Now it's my turn to entertain the president. Yeah. So I said, you know, Mr. President, when Americans landed on the moon, that was a big slap in the face to the Soviet government. So Brezhnev called all the cosmonauts into his office and said, Americans landed on the moon. We have to land on the sun. They said, no, we can't do it. We will burn up. He said, do you think I'm stupid? You land at night. And boy, was I happy when they laughed. I got to tell you. And then him and I just got along and we just kept telling jokes. Everybody was laughing the whole evening. There was an evening when President Reagan sent a military helicopter to Libya to show American strength in front of Gaddafi. Mm-hmm. And so it was a very tense night. And here he is out from the White House. And they had to, I mean, the whole thing was just like a barricade. You know, they had a medical facility set up there and in another bedroom with his blood. I mean, the whole thing was pretty intense, right? And behind the president stands this Marine with the football, which is the,
yeah, the nuclear football,
codes,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he's standing like right there behind the president. And I'm telling jokes to the president. And I'm like, and he's telling jokes to me. And the Marine is trying not to laugh. And he is supposed to like stand there. And my goal is like, I'm going to crack you. I'm going to get you. Eventually I did. But you know, I was nervous because, you know, if I bomb, that's one thing. But if he bombs, that's a different story, right?
That's so
good. Oh my
good.
Gosh, that's awesome.
Our relationship with Russia's interesting now.
Yes.
I mean, do you still talk a lot about that?
Okay. No. I don't. I just the only I'm actually doing the Tonight Show on June 5th for the first time in 35 years.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And so the reason they liked me because I only said that I'm originally from Russia. Thank you very much. That's it. And I don't talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's too tense right now because, and I don't know when it's going to end. It's been, because I'm originally from Ukraine. And in the Soviet Union, it was like one big country, right? Soviet Union. But so when I came to America, Americans didn't want to say Soviet Union. It's too long. So they would say Russia. And I go, okay, Russia. And that's how I became Russian comedian. So now I don't get into it. I talk about relationships. I talk about marriage. I talk about laughter in a relationship. And that's kind of been my focus because, you know, I got hurt with the political situation with my, you know, career going down the drain. Mm-hmm. When you talk about men and women, that doesn't go away. This will go forever.
Right.
This is like evergreen. So comedy is about that. And I have a beautiful wife and, you know, I have a lot to talk about.
But just going back to where you came from when you came to the United States, is this correct that you were performing on ships in the Black Sea?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you first interacted with Americans
that's
and
correct.
Thought, maybe I'll go there.
That's correct.
How did
that's
that
exactly
happen?
What happened. Well, in the Soviet Union, it was very strict that we were not allowed to talk to foreigners. Okay. Yeah, so if you see a foreigner or if you see a group, you got to go on the other side of the street. And if you're caught, you might get in trouble. So we did not communicate. And on the cruise ship, I was master of ceremonies, and we had the groups of people from socialist countries like Czechoslovakia, Bulgaria, Germany, and then it would be Germany, and there would be Americans and Australians and stuff like that. So my job was to organize kind of evening entertainment. So I would do like Miss Cruise or something that would be kind of international, so no language barrier. So they would just run with an egg and a spoon or who is going to win, men, women, whatever. And they would give me an interpreter for each group. And the interpreter I would tell them what's going to happen, and they would tell me. But I spoke only Russian. I didn't speak English. I didn't speak any other language. And I was able to communicate with them, and I saw something that I didn't see before. It sounds so strange. I saw a spark in, especially Americans. They had that spark in their eye that was spelled like freedom. They were enjoying themselves. They weren't like, I'm not supposed to do this. They were free to do whatever. And I loved it. I wanted that spark of freedom in my eyes someday and then maybe in my children's eyes. So that's how it started. Mm-hmm. That's when it was like, I want to. And I told my parents my mom was very nervous. Dad wanted to get out of there, but mom was nervous that I wasn't very bright, you know, so she was concerned that I won't learn the language and I won't know what to do in America. But when she saw me perform in front of all this groups of people that didn't speak my language, and yet they were still laughing. She was a smart lady. She went like, you got an international audience. We should go. And that's how we came.
Your story is unbelievable. Yeah. It's super fascinating. Yakov Smirnoff is going to be at the Westport Funny Bone tonight and tomorrow, 7:30 and 9:30 tonight. Tomorrow, 6 and 8:30.
Yes.
You can get tickets at yakov.com.
I would love them to come. I guarantee you, you're going to laugh your yak off.
I like that. We have with us from Branson, Missouri, Yakov Smirnoff is with us. Thank you for coming in. This
Thanks
was awesome.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
It's Chris and Amy on 104.1 FM. Truly, Yakov Smirnoff is a fascinating story. And it did not occur to me that because I was young when the Soviet Union collapsed. And I do remember his comedy. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I remember him mostly from watching Night Court, or that's the first time I saw him. But I didn't realize... I guess that his career really had an issue because of the collapse.
Yeah.
And then you think about what that's the stuff he talked about, right? And there was a fascination with him because he was from this place that we were all not afraid of, but like uneasy to interact with. And just a super fascinating guy and living in Branson for over 30 years now.
Right. I know I'm still processing everything that he's done, the movies, you know, being invited to the couch on the Johnny Carson show, being friends with Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
And now that I think about just like how quick-witted and funny and self-deprecating Yakov Smirnoff is, it's kind of funny because you can see the Reaganite type joking, like when after Reagan, the assassination attempt. And that famous video of he's giving a speech and a balloon pops and he's like, missed me.
Yes.
Like, I kind of feel like you could see how those two would get along.
Yeah. And so Yakov is at the Funny Bone Westport tonight, 2 shows, tomorrow, 2 shows. And just go to his website, yakov.com. That was cool for me. Like I said, Night Court, that was it, baby. That was my number one before Seinfeld came along.
I will say, Ben Boyd, formerly with KMOX, now with the St. Louis Cardinals, had a Yakov joke memory. In every country, they make fun of a city. In the U.S., you make fun of Cleveland. In Russia, we make fun of Cleveland.
Now I feel like it's St. Louis. I feel like we're the new Cleveland. Don't make fun of us. We're trying. All right, anything you missed on the show, please download the Odyssey app and you can go back and listen to everything. The interview with Yakov Smirnoff, if you missed that, or whatever else. Cardinals baseball is live. They'll play tonight and you can listen to it live right from your phone. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. The Gas House Gang is coming up next. I got Mike Claiborne with me today. John Rooney will join the show. We're going to talk some Cardinals baseball. Coming up at 12 o'clock here on 104.1 FM KMOX.